Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. We're glad to have you today. Praise the Lord. Goodness gracious. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank each one of you that have prayed for my wife. I prayed for her, but I know many of you have prayed for Cheryl. She's it's not often that Cheryl gets thrown off of a horse, but she did. it's not too good. It's not too bad. I can remember when I was, 17, 18 years old, my brother-in-law had a horse that he was having trouble with. And so I told him, I said, I'll ride that horse for you. So I jumped up on the back of that horse. And of course, he broke out to run. And I was out in a plowed field. And my dad had a little 35-acre field right behind the pasture, right behind the house there. And I run that horse plumb over to the backside of the field, and I started him back. Of course, as soon as I turned him around and started back to the house, well, he really run, and he run right over downside the fence, and I could not pull him off the fence. And as he was running down the fence line, I looked up, and right down there close to the house, there was a great big oak tree with a great big limb sticking right out. You know, they tell you that a horse can't run forward with him when he's looking backwards, but that's not true. I tell you, that's not true. Because I reached around and I got that horse right by the bridle right here, and I pulled his nose right around in my lap, and that horse is still running right down that fence row. He would not turn. And so just before I got to the tree, I knew he was going to knock me off. There was no way he was going to go right under that tree. And here I am, like I say, back in those days, if I had a brain, I would have taken it out and played with it, That's just the way we are as young men. So just before we got to the tree, I just bailed out in that plowed field, running full board, as fast as that horse could run. I bailed out there in that plowed field, got up and walked off laughing. Didn't hurt me nothing. But my body was 17 or 18 years old. It wasn't 65. And so when Cheryl's horse jumped out from under her, she hit the ground, fell off right off her backside, right on her tailbone, right on her back, and right on her head. And so needless to say, she's been a little stove up. We've done a lot of praying over her. She's getting better all the time. It just takes, if you haven't noticed it takes just a little longer for you to get back to normal when you're 65, when you do something to your physical body, than it did when you were 17. Is that right, Mary? You're a nurse, so you know what I'm talking about, right? And those people in that rest home where you work, their bodies, when they get to be 80 and 90 years old, it really takes time when they fall and hurt themselves, doesn't it, for those people to recover. So our bodies, they wear out, and they wear out faster when we don't know the promises of God. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we get into the promises of God, I thank you and praise you for these promises. Lord, I ask you to convict us in our hearts that these promises are from you and they're for us, your children. Because, Lord, when we learn we can quote these promises, we realize you are a faith God. And without claiming these promises by faith, they don't work for us. But when we claim them by faith, when we really know them, they will work for us as your children. And I thank you and praise you for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There is some awesome promises. And we started talking about these last week. And I want to go back and I want to look at something. In fact, I had a lady one time that was in a wheelchair. And I started going over these promises for this lady. And I went over promises and over promises and over promises. And I don't know how many I went over. Finally, I asked her, I said, ma'am, have you heard enough of God's promises to get out of that wheelchair? And she said, but maybe those promises are not always yes. You know, God can say no. I said, ma'am, do you have a verse for that? Oh, she said, well, no. I said, well, then how do you know that? She said, well, I just know that sometimes God says no. I said, if I had a verse that said all the promises of God are yes every time, could you get out of that wheelchair? She said, absolutely. But she said, there's no such verse in the Word of God. So I said, ma'am, would you like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, 19, and 20, and see what that says in your Bible? And she said, well, what does it say? I said, I'm not going to tell you. I want you to turn in your own Bible to 2 Corinthians 1, 18, 19, and 20, and I want you to see what Jesus told us in the Word of God. As surely as God is faithful, my word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you, and is God's ultimate yes. He always does what he says. Now, he always does what? What he says. Okay, well, let's see what he says in the next verse, verse 20. For some of the promises of God.
All the promises of God.
Now, wait a minute. Now, wait, it couldn't possibly say that, ladies and gentlemen. Because if all the promises of God are yes and amen, in him they're yea and amen, to the glory of God, if all of the promises are yes, then why can't we take these promises and stand on them and receive from God what we need? You see what I mean? This lady looked at this, and she looked at this, and she looked at this. And she says, sir, I didn't know that verse was in the Bible. I said, that's what's wrong with us. We don't know. And if we do know, we don't believe. You know, I mean, I look at Mike and Gracie, and I love to tell their story, how that Mike had back trouble so many years. He had all these problems. And they started coming to my church, hearing me preach this crazy stuff. You know, that Jesus really does this stuff. And so they had to hear it a few times. It didn't happen the first time. But after they heard it several times, one day they were working together in their bathroom in their house. They was renovating their home, something, and he was texturing or whatever they were doing. And the time came along, and all of a sudden his back is hurting so bad. He tells her, honey, I've had it. I'm done. I can't go no more. We're going to have to quit. And this crazy woman he's married to. Thank God for good women, right? She said, you know, Thurman said that Jesus said. Now, wait a minute. If Thurman said that Jesus said, and as long as Jesus said it, you're on safe ground, right, Gracie? Said that he said in Matthew 18:19 that if two of us on earth agreed about anything we ask him for, he would do it for us. Honey, why don't we believe God and let me pray for you? And believe it's done. He said, okay, I'm hurting so bad, I'll do anything. Is that kind of the way it was, Mike? And so she prayed for him, according to Matthew 18:19. Now, look at Matthew 18:19. Now, this is the promise that she used. Look at this wonderful promise. Now, this is Jesus talking. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth. Now, how many is there in that bathroom? Two. One husband and one wife. And are they on earth? Yes, they're on earth. They're not out in space somewhere. That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Now, is that a guarantee from God to a couple that's walking in obedience to God's word that he said, my promises are, how many times yes?
Always
yes. Now, isn't that awesome? So, do you see why I can guarantee the word, right, A.A.? It's written. And so, she prayed for her husband. And Michael, what happened?
In one heartbeat, he was instantly healed.
And he has, I don't guess you've ever had any back trouble since, have you? When Jesus does work, he does good work, doesn't he, Mike? Now, thank God for a good woman, huh? See, she doesn't have brain damage like you and me. You know, you and me, we know we got brain damage, right? We know that in the womb at, I think, 23 or 24 weeks, whatever it is, that there's a chemical process that takes place that burns the left and right link in two, but it didn't happen for the girls. So me and you had brain damage, and it takes me and you a little longer to process all this stuff. But praise God, you had a lovely wife that processed it immediately, and she remembered it, and whenever y'all needed it, she called it forth, and she acted on the Word of God, and it worked.
Amen.
It works every time. Yes, ma'am.
My 93-year-old mother had a swelling behind her ear, and it was getting worse and worse and worse, and I just pulled Matthew out and I said, okay, let's both agree according to God's promises. And you agree? He said, yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, we'll ask, we can ask whatever, we're on earth and we're two together. And according to God's promises, you're healed. And we both agree on it. And we thank the Lord in advance and it's done. I called her the next day and it's gone down. And
now, just look, here's another crazy woman. She believes the Bible. Is that something? Amen. Now, right there is where we all need to be, isn't it? Did God make those promises only to you? And he made them to all of us, didn't he? Isn't that wonderful? That when we get a hold of the fact, these promises that God made the church, or all these promises that we're going to talk about today, how many of them are no? Not any. Isn't that something? There's something wrong, though, isn't there? And, well, this is the only thing I can think of. I can remember being in church all of my life, and these kind of scriptures I never heard them preach from the pulpit, not one time. I mean, if it's in God's Word, why are we afraid to teach it? I mean, after all, if Jesus said it, you can't hold me responsible for it, right? If I tell it to you and it don't work for you, then if I haven't learned yet that if you have a sin in your life, God's not going to hear your prayer. If I haven't learned that where I can teach you yet, at least I can teach these promises. And just like this little lady over here, she listened and she heard these promises and she acted on them. Obviously, she was clean. You see what I mean? Obviously, there was no major sin in her life, because if she prayed for her mother, you said it was your mother, right? You prayed for your mother and God heard it and He answered. Obviously, everything was okay, right?
Right before that, they said that her lungs were filling up and all, and we went into the doctor's office, and right before the waiting room, I said, okay, let's according to Matthew 18:19, and we both have the faith to do it. And the doctor, I was there, and the doctor put the stethoscope, clean lungs.
Amen. Now, you see how these promises work. They work for her. They work for Michael and Gracie. But who else will they work for? That's the secret. If we believe. Even as adults, that's what we need to get in our spirit. It's not just healing that you need to be able to pray for. You know, I mean, I can think of times, I mean, as an engineer, as I learn these things, as I'm working for companies, I can think of times. I mean, I remember one time there was we had a truck that had a platform on the front of it, and these platforms, they had to learn to step over this thing, and they had to, the truck was too high, and it was a little DC-9 airplane, and they couldn't quite get up there, so they had to put another platform across that platform to be able to get in the airplane so they could open the door. And anyway, I know you don't understand what I'm talking about, but anyway, this little platform, it was not the safest thing in the world. You know, you had to be very careful what you were doing. And you know how people are. You know, people are not very careful. And so one day, a girl, she was catering an airplane, and she didn't have the little ramp over right, and it was laying up on the rubber ramp of the other truck, and when she stepped on the ramp, it slipped. When it hit, she fell, and of course, the front rubber bumper on the truck is about this high, so she fell about this high, you know, from here to the concrete. And when she hit, naturally, it messed her up pretty good. I think it broke a bone or two. But anyway, my boss come to me, and he said, Thurman, we just had an accident. He said, as our chief engineer, is there anything you can design or build that will fix this where these people won't get hurt? I said, yes, I know I can do something. Now, how can I be so sure? Because who do I know?
Jesus.
I know Jesus, yeah, the King of Kings. So I go out there and I have one of those trucks pulled into the shop, and I look at that truck and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said I could ask for anything. Is that what He said?
Yes.
So Father, I know you don't want people hurt. I know you want them to be safe. And so I'm asking you to show me the kind of ramp that I can put on this truck so that it'll be foolproof, so nobody will get hurt, and it'll last from now on and there'll be no problems. And then I said, thank you, Father, for it. And I just stood there and I looked at the ramp. And all of a sudden, it began to appear on the truck. I began to see the ramp and the pieces and everything. And I stood there and watched the whole thing come together. And I said, wow. And then I got so excited just before the end. You get so excited, you want to, I got it. Well, the Lord wasn't through yet, but I'm through. See, you know how we are, you know, a little, you know, something He gives you just a little bit, you want to run 90 miles an hour with it. No, you need to be patient and wait on Him to totally finish the job. Well, I didn't quite do that. So I got everything together, and I ran over and grabbed me a piece of paper and began to draw all this out. And then I looked at a couple of my mechanics there, and I said, can you build this platform like this and put on this truck? They looked at it and said, sure, we can do that. I said, okay, good. Build it and put it on there. And so we did. And a few days later, I come by there. They called me and said, Thurman, we got it done. So I went by there, and I looked at it, and I said, that's it. That's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. I tried it. It worked. And I said, that'll work perfect. Well, I jumped in my truck and I headed over to another shop to look at some stuff. And on the way over there, I'm driving along there, and all of a sudden I see a vision right at distant driving my truck. There is an airplane out there, and this truck is pulling up to it, and it pulls right up there to it. And as it pulls up there, the ramp extends automatically just like it's supposed to and everything. And somebody gets on the truck, and they go and walk across there, and they cater the airplane, and everything worked perfect. And I'm just watching this. It's happening. And as I see this happen, the guy gets the last stuff, and he goes and he starts to get back in the truck, and as he does, the girl hollers at him and says something, and I can't hear what she says, but he's got both arms full of stuff, and he leans back against the side of the airplane so he can hear her. And as he leans back on the side of the airplane, this ramp that I've designed with these rollers roll out from under him. It rolls back in. And see, I didn't quite wait for God to give me the latch that would lock it out there. I thought I had it all. But this thing rolled back in, and as it did, the guy fell. And as he fell, he went right down, and he just folded up like an accordion between the truck and the ramp, which was about a distance about this far. And of course, he caught himself, and he didn't fall all the way through. But I looked at it, and I said, holy cow, Lord. The guy is going to get hurt like this. I said, Lord, obviously I didn't get all of the picture. Maybe I got in too big a hurry. You know how that is? You get too big a hurry. You know, God's trying to show you something and you get about 2/3 of it and you think, that's it, God, I got it. No, you haven't. You wait till he gets through. So anyway, he showed me in a vision and I went back over to the shop and I told Bob, one of my guys there, I said, get that truck. I want to put a latch on that thing so when it goes out, it locks where it cannot move. He said, why do you want to do that? I said, because the Lord just showed me in a vision as I was going over to the other shop that if we didn't do that, somebody's going to get hurt with it. He said, well, I would never have thought that would have happened. I said, me either. But I said, it happened. And God showed me. So I said, I want you to build a latch. And I knew exactly what latch to use. And I told him, I said, I'm going to take this latch. I want to put it right here. And I want you to put it on there and fix it where it will latch out every time it goes out. And then when I get through, all I got to do is pull a little cable right above the cab, and it'll release that latch, and that thing will come sucking right back in there. I said, that'll work. So he built it, and when he got through with it, he called me and said, it's all done. I went over there and looked at it, and it looked beautiful, exactly what I wanted. And we built that thing and put it on there, and up until they quit using the DC-9s, I don't know if they even use those things anymore, but for the next 10 or 15 years, we use that ramp on those airplanes, and even the manufacturers of the trucks got a hold of it, and they started putting it on from the factory. My very design that came from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now then, as far as I know, nobody ever got hurt on that truck catering an airplane with that ramp. Never. Now, how did I come up with that idea? Somebody said, Thurman designed that. I said, oh, no, Thurman didn't design that. I said, I got the idea from the Lord. Now, see, we go to a lot of effort to try to make things happen. But if you are a son of God and you're walking in the kingdom and you know the kingdom is yours and you know the promises of God and you know the promises of God are, yes, sometimes. Oh, that's what he said, Miss Billy. All of the promises of God are what?
Yes.
If they are yes and amen every time, then why in the world, every time I go do something, if I happen to be a woman and I'm going to the grocery store, why don't I ask God which grocery store to go to? You know, Lord, where's the best deals? I mean, do you ever think about that? You know, I bet you most of you girls never even think about that. You probably got the grocery store already lined up. You know where you're going. And who needs God? You know where you're going. But you don't know where all the specials are today. He might have a special store. Do you see where I'm coming from? If we're children of the kingdom and all of his promises are yes and amen, how much of a better life do you think you could have if you ask God to direct your day and your footsteps in everything you do? Do you think your day would be better? I know it will be. I walked there. I've done that. I mean, I've had so many experiences with God in the workforce. You know, as an engineer, I became known as the man that could fix anything. I mean, my VPs, you know, they called me, they had a problem somewhere. In fact, I had a VP I used to work for that moved from here, this region, up to the Northeast. And one day he was up and he called me and said, Thurman, I know you don't work for me anymore, but he said, I have got some machines up here that nobody can fix. We've had everybody out here. We spent thousands of dollars on these machines, and nobody can fix them. They will not hold temperature, and they're big dish machines, 35 and 40 foot long dishwashers. He said, could you take a day off if I called your VP, maybe if he would release you for a couple of days, would you be willing to come up here and find out what's wrong with these machines? I said, sure, no problem, Mr. Tully. I'll be happy to help you. So he called my boss. My boss said, yes, Bill Webb was my boss at the time. He said, sure, if you need Thurman a couple of days. He said, he's got our region in really good shape. He said, he can go and take a couple of days. So I went up there, and I walked through those machines. I checked those things and everything. And within an hour, I knew everything that was wrong with those machines. I told the guys, I said, this is not right, this is not right, this is not right. I said, do this, do this. And it took them the next 2 days to do all those things. And then we run those machines, and the temperatures were right up there where they were supposed to. And of course, my boss came to me and said, I knew you were always a miracle worker, Thurman. He said, if there's anything we couldn't fix, I know, call you. He said, I've never asked you to do anything you can't do and do it with a minimum budget. And he said, we love that as VPs. You know that? Every time they ask me, how in the world do you know so many things, and how come you're so smart? You must have went to some really good engineering schools. I said, no, I know the best engineer in the world. And you know who the best engineer in the world is?
Jesus.
Jesus. And did he tell me I could ask for anything and he would do it?
Yes.
And then all I got to do is be quiet and wait on him. Sometimes I get ahead of him, you know, like the deal on the ramp. But he's corrected that. And I mean, to think he had to go to the, all that. If I'd have just stood there for another 5 or 10 minutes, he'd have showed me the ramp. He'd have showed me the latch. He'd have showed me everything. I will have to say that in my years working for corporations, I have built and designed a lot of equipment. In fact, I remember a conveyor belt that we used to have so much trouble with. I mean, these things were $6,500 a piece, and they give us so much trouble. They broke so often. And finally, one day, I told my boss, I had prayed about this diligently, and the Lord already showed me how to do this. I said, if you will give me $5,000 of R&D money, I said, I will build you a conveyor for less than $5,000, especially if we mass produce them, that will outperform this belt 2 or 3 to 1. And he said, Thurman, I don't think you can do that. I said, I can. He said, what makes you think you can do it? I said, because I prayed. Well, when a guy's not a Christian, you know, well, oh, okay, so you prayed, huh? Yeah. Okay. You know how people are that don't know Jesus. You know, they think you're nuts, but that's okay. I had prayed, and finally one day we'd had so much trouble. We were there in the dish room, and that thing was broke down, and they was having all kinds of trouble. And I looked at him, and I says, you know, I still remember I told you I could build one of those that wouldn't break down like that. He said, you really think you can do that? I said, no, sir. I know I can do that. I know, because I am attached to the King of Kings. He said, okay, you got your $5,000. Build it. So I did. And it cost us less than $5,000. I built that first one for less than $5,000. We got that thing in and got it running, and I put it there in that dish room to replace that other one. And that thing was running so good and working so perfect. After about 6 months, the VP said, we need two of those in Denver. It's a Denver operation. Can you build me two more of them? I said, yes. He said, what are they going to cost? I said, I believe we can build them for about $3,500. He said, Thurman, that's about half what they cost from the other manufacturer. And he said, this belt is so much better than that other one. It's just awesome. So I built two more, and I sent them to Denver. Later, one of the executive vice presidents was out there, and he saw those things, and he asked the Denver general manager, said, where did you get those belts? He said, Thurman built those for me and sent them out here. He came to Dallas and said, where did you get that design? I said, from the Lord. Okay, second question, where did you get the design? I mean, people that are not Christians, even dead Christians don't believe this stuff. You know that? I mean, but are these promises in the book?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not speaking something and not showing you I'm finding it in the book, am I? Is it really in the book?
Yes.
Okay, if it's in the book, I learned to use these things years ago. Well, before it was over, I don't know how many of those things I built. I don't even remember. I probably built maybe 150 of those things. I mean, probably at least 150. And we sent those things all over the world. The company I worked for was all over the world. So those things were shipped to Europe, and they were all over. They went everywhere. Those things turned out to be one of the best items we ever had. But everybody knew, at least that was there at the time, that Thurman built and designed that. You need something good? Call Thurman. He can fix you up. Wow, he's the smartest guy I ever seen. And somebody comes and says, where do you get all this? I said, from Jesus. You know, they don't know what to say. Are y'all understanding that these promises are not just for healing? These promises are for us to live our life with the Lord. We are children of the kingdom, and we're to depend on the Master. Like Dave said a while ago, what does he want from you? A relationship. You know, he wants you to seek him in everything. And he loves it when you call on him and say, Lord, how do I do this? And he said, I'm so glad you asked. Isn't that wonderful, Scott? But you know that, don't you? He loves it. Where we miss it, we think we can sin and then ask him things and he'll still do it. But that's not the case, ladies and gentlemen. He clearly tells us in his word, we are to walk holy in his presence. We're to walk without sin in his presence. We are to love him, to praise him, to worship him. We're not to be ashamed of the King. We're to tell people, my Jesus, he's so awesome. You know, and then anything you need, he'll answer you and he'll say yes. Every time his promises are yes to his obedient children. And of course, that's the thing. So many people pray. You know, people get sick. I have experiences all the time with people that are living with somebody out of wedlock. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, so many people do that. You know, and God hates that. He says, among my children, let there not be any sexual immorality. None. I mean, is that what he said?
Yes.
So if he said that, shouldn't we strive to have no sexual immorality? If you get to the point where you think, well, I just can't do this, he answers that too in the Word. He said, if you can't handle it, then get married. Then he said, it's okay. I'll give you sex as a wedding present when you get married. But if you're not married, he said, you stay as far away from sex as you can get, because that's the only sin that you're going to sin that's going to be against your own flesh. It will kill you. I will send a curse upon you, and you will suffer. You will die early. You will not live out your full life. All those are promises from God. I don't want that, do you? When you get a picture of the day that Moses came down on the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and they were having a orgy. Y'all know what that is? They were having sex between everybody. They were just drinking. They were drunk. They were running around just a wild party. And there was tens of thousands of people. And it so angered the Lord, he just commanded the death angel to go get them. And he started killing people right and left. They're falling out. Can you imagine that scene? And God is angry. He said, get them. And they're dying. And Moses, Lord, please, please, Lord, don't wipe out. He said, Moses, get out of the way and I'm going to kill them all. Does that sound like a loving, kind, gentle, non-judging God? It sounds like a God that's upset. Get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to kill them all. Moses continued to intercede. No, Lord, please be merciful to your people. And because of Moses' righteousness, God stopped it, said, okay, because you asked me, I'm going to stop killing them. And he said, whenever the smoke cleared, there was 23,000 people laying dead in the desert. Now, if Moses hadn't prayed, how many of them would have been dead? He'd have killed them all. Is God still judging sin like that today? I mean, he sure is. Like I heard on the news the other night, I'm going to tell you, just the other night, I heard some guy went crazy. He went over to his girlfriend's house, killed her children. You heard that too, Miss Jackie. You heard that, right? Yeah. And then he goes over to North Dallas and to either his ex-wife or whatever it was and killed all them. And you know what it was? It's a judgment from God because of their sexual immorality. Anytime you got girlfriends and ex-wives and everything else, and there's all kinds of kids and everything, there's all kinds of sexual sin there, and God has had it, and he sends the death angel into that man to go out and kill his own family, because I hate sexual immorality. People said, God would never do something like that. Well, let me tell you what. Did the wives of David have anything to do with the sexual sin that David committed?
No.
No, but what did God say was going to happen to those women? You're going to be raped on the street corners and the housetops. What you did in secret, I will do openly for everybody to see. Let me tell you, I don't understand why the church don't understand that God hates sexual sin. I mean, I just can't believe we don't understand. And then, of course, when we're doing those kind of things, somebody says, well, just cry out to God. He'll help you. No, it's too late. Until you repent of those sins, it ain't going to do no good to cry out to God, because he ain't going to help you at all. In fact, I'm telling you, God is the one killing them, just like the day in the desert. Was it God that sent that death angel that day to kill 23,000 people?
Yes.
So what if you obey him and have a relationship with him? What is he like then? Oh, my goodness gracious, Miss Jackie. Is he an awesome God?
Awesome.
I mean, all you got to do is just love him, right? And obey him.
Yes.
And then you ask him for anything, and what'll he do?
Do
He'll do it. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Hey, that's awesome, isn't it?
It is awesome.
It is awesome. But, you know, that's why we need to really work really hard to be children that walk holy in obedience to His Word. Amen. You know, we need to love our spouse. You know, it doesn't make any difference what time your spouse needs to get up to go to the bathroom. If she's having trouble, you just get up and take her. And I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If she's having trouble, you can fall out of that bed and get in there and help that girl. Can you imagine my spouse waking me up at 3 in the morning and saying, honey, I can't get up. Will you help me go to the bathroom? And I'd later say, no, woman, I ain't helping you. Go back to sleep. Can you imagine a man doing that? No. No, you can't imagine that, can you? But you know there's people out there that do that. And then they say, well, I can't get my prayers answered. Let me tell you a little secret. I can tell you why. Because you're not loving your wife. Did Jesus say in the Word, husbands, love your wives? If you do not love them like Christ loved the church, I will not hear your prayer. Is that what He said?
Yes.
So you wonder why so many husbands don't get their prayers answered. Well, we got a book full of awesome promises. Awesome promises that belongs to us. And if we're walking in obedience to His Word, all these promises are yes and amen. How many times, Rosemary?
Every day.
Isn't that awesome? We can pray for anything. And every time we pray, what do we need to do? Pray with
Well, yeah,
in faith, with thanksgiving, right? Never fail to thank the Lord. That's just like when you go in and sit down as a child of God, when you go in and sit down to eat. You know, a lot of people take that for granted. But no, don't take that for granted. Don't never eat or drink anything without thanking Him for what He's given you. Don't sit down to have a glass of water, except you say, thank you, Lord. I pray over this. I sanctify it with the Word of God and prayer with thanksgiving. So I know this glass of water is going to be clean and pure. See, I've told you all the story about how me and those other, I think it was 3 or 4 engineers went to Mexico City that time in Acapulco. We were doing things. You know, when those guys that night that we ordered some, whatever the dish was, and it was bowls of this and that and everything. And when you come to the table, I said, guys, I'm praying over mine. I said, y'all want to, no, Thurman, we don't need to pray. I said, yeah. I said, if there was ever a place you needed to pray, it's down here. I've heard what happens to people that come from Texas that go to Mexico and eat the food or drink the water. I said, so we're okay. We got it. I said, okay. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless my food. I should have asked you if I get to bless it all, but I didn't. I said, Lord, bless my food to my body in Jesus' name. Well, the next morning, we had dinner. We pigged out, you know, as usual, and we all go upstairs to our rooms and go to bed. And the next morning at 7 o'clock, I'm down there ready to go, and I'm the only one showed up. I called each one up to the room. I said, what's wrong with you guys? We can't make it. We got Montezuma's revenge. I said, oh, okay. So then I had to go out and do the work of all of us that day. But anyway, I had the king with me, and there was no problem getting the job done. We got it done. You try to tell people, but they don't listen. I mean, isn't it wonderful to know that God made us as His children these promises? And these promises, I mean, they're absolutely wonderful. Just like A.A. said a while ago, if we would teach our children these things from the time they're little. In fact, the other day I was so amazed. Sharon's not here today, is she? Yeah, Sharon's not here, but I got to tell this story on her. I was going to tell it, but if she was here or not, it didn't make any difference. But Sharon kind of done something to her, I think it was her right ankle or something, kind of turned it or something. And she was up there at the front, and she was sitting outside in the front swing after work in the afternoon, sitting there just relaxing. And she says, you know, my right ankle sure does hurt. Well, Sarah, Dave's littlest girl, 3 years old, about that big, she just, like a duck on a June bug, she just jumped over there and said, Sharon, I'll pray for it.
Uh-huh.
Now, how many 3-year-olds do you know will do something like that?
Right.
But Dave's trained them children right. I mean, that little girl, Sharon, I'll pray for it. She just jumped over there and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Turned her loose. A few minutes later, Sharon didn't have a pain of no kind. Do you think that pleases the king? Yes, absolutely. He thinks, now that's my little children. That's the way I want my big children to train their little children to walk with me, have an intimate relationship with me. And that's what he wants. And that's if we would all do that to our children.
That's right.
Isn't that awesome? If we'd have been taught like that, but nobody taught me when I was young, just like you didn't learn it either. No, I never heard this stuff. I mean, did I go to church? Yeah. I was in church every time the door was open. But did I ever hear these kind of things in my church?
No.
Never did. I don't know what the deal is. It's in the book. I just don't understand it, but it's in the book. Now then, let's go to this scripture in 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 4. I want to show you this when we talk about where we're supposed to live. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 4. Look at this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that's supposed to be all of us. But obviously, to them that have obtained this faith, we hadn't all got it, have we? Some people don't have this faith, right? If you have this faith, think about this. Here's the kind of faith Peter's talking about. Y'all remember when Peter and John walked up to the temple? And the little guy there that says, alms, money, I need some money. What Peter tell? Oh, here, just a minute, let me get you a 50. No. He said, I have no gold and I have no silver, but I have something better. What I have, I give unto you in the name of who?
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And that guy looked up at him and said, what? Can you see Peter now? Mike, can you see Peter reach down with that big old hand? He's a big guy just like you are. I can just see him. He's a monstrous of a man. He just reached down and said, I said, get up. And he jerked that devil right out of that guy. When he jerked him up, that man come up and hit the floor, and he was standing up, and he started running all over the temple, up and down the stairs, praising God. Now, how did he get that done? In the
name
of our King Jesus, right? Are those promises for you and me too? Yes, we can use the name of Jesus just like Peter did. What I have as the sons and daughters of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to get up and walk. I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. Do you realize we can get people healed without even going to the Father on earth? We can just use the name of Jesus and it'll happen. Jesus said, anything you, in fact, John 14, 13 and 14, let's go to that scripture. And wait a minute, we'll get that in a minute. We'll get that in a minute. I want to go to this next verse here in 3 and 4. In 3, blessed be, what? That's 2 Peter. Oh, well, that's a good one. That's a good one. Let me read it. Well, you got it on the screen. Okay, we'll go back to here. Okay, here we are. We'll go back to verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us a few things that pertain to life. Are you trying to tell me that says something different than what I said? Then why do we read it like I read it?
Or not at all.
Or not at all. That's even a better one. According as His divine power. And how much divine power does God have?
All.
It's all power. Has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge. Oh, there's the answer. We don't have that knowledge. We don't read His Word. We go to the movies. We turn on the television set. We are fed by the unbelieving world around us. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, if you're fed by the world around you, I can guarantee you, if you're watching soap operas and all the junk that's on the television, in fact, you got to be careful what Christian television you watch. It ain't all fit to watch. You got to make sure. Now, there's some good ones. There's some good Christian television out there, and I praise God for all we have. But we got a few that's not following the truth of the Word.
That's right.
Now, like I say, I do listen to a little bit of Daystar and a little bit of TBN, and some of them are really good, you know. But some of them, there's a few of them, but most of them are okay. I don't have a major problem. I'd whole lot rather you be watching almost anything on Christian television than anything else on secular television. Because secular television is rotten to the core. I mean, they're trying to train our children even today to be homosexuals. And if, like A.A. said over there a while ago, if we could teach our children in the first grade how to be really children of God instead of how to be perverts, you know, we would have some children that would get something done, couldn't we, A.A.? I mean, we could see them do awesome things. In fact, I got an email here a while back from a lady. She said, I'm a nursery worker in a Baptist church. And she said, I've been listening to your stuff. And she said, I have been so awestruck with what I've heard. But said, when I heard you were a Baptist, I thought, well, you must be okay because I'm a Baptist and you're a Baptist. So I'm going to listen to what he has to say. But she said, I heard things I'd never heard before. So she said, I went to my Bible and checked you out and said, everything you said was in my Bible. So she said, I thought, wow, this is awesome. This guy sees all kinds of miracles and healings and everything else by using these wonderful promises. So she said, one day a man brought his little 5-year-old son back to the nursery and he's on crutches. And they brought him in and I said, what happened? She said, he sprained his knee and he's got a brace on his knee and he's going to have to walk on crutches for the next 6 weeks. She said, okay. So she brings him in. She sets him down in the middle of the floor, takes his crutches away from him, and she says, children, come over here. Let's pray for little Johnny. The Bible says in Mark 16, 17 and 18, we can lay hands on the sick and Jesus will heal them. And she read it. She got it out and she read it. She said, now let's pray and believe with all our hearts that Jesus will heal little Johnny. So all the kids just, boy, you know, they're 5-year-old kids, eh? I mean, you know, they're vulnerable. You know, I mean, if the teacher tells them this is in the Bible, my goodness gracious, let's do it. And so they all jump on little Johnny and lay hands on him. And the teacher said, now be healed in the name of Jesus. Said, thank you, Lord, it's done. Now they all go back and start playing. She said, okay, Johnny, take your brace off and stand up and walk. So Johnny takes his brace off because he's obeying the teacher. He takes the brace off, he gets up and starts walking. She said, well, teacher, it don't hurt no more. So she said he run around there and played with all the other kids for an hour or whatever it was, and Daddy come to get him and said, Johnny, and he said, come running to the door, you know, and he said, where's your crutches? He said, well, I don't need them no more, Daddy. He said, what do you mean you don't need them? That doctor said you're going to need them for 6 weeks. But Daddy, they prayed for me, and Jesus healed me. No, that can't be. Get your... But he said, Daddy, look, it don't hurt. That's it. Exactly right. Hey. That's what's wrong with us today in the church. We as the adults, we listen to everything a doctor tells us instead of what the doctor tells us. Now, if we believe these promises, I mean, when Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll get well, how many times is that yes?
Always.
If you, like you said a while ago, Kim, if you believe. Jesus asked him several times, he'd ask people, they'd come to him, he says, do you believe I can do this for you? Yeah. Yes, Lord, we believe. He said, then according to your faith, be it done unto you. And bam, their eyes are opened or whatever. Right. You know, you never see anybody come to Jesus and say, no, I don't believe you can do this. Yes, we do. Where did we see that? In his own hometown of Nazareth. He went over there and started teaching the word, and they said, who is this crazy kid? Who does he think he is? And they were offended. Isn't he Mary and Joseph's son? Who does he think he is, God? Well, maybe you ought to check that out, guys. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Maybe he just happened to be somebody a little bigger than you think. And there, you noticed in the book of Mark, it said, and there he could do any mighty works because of their unbelief. So when we as Christians, when people say all the time, they say, you know, we hear missionaries go to Africa and all over the world and they see miracles and they come back to the United States and we never saw one. Why do you think we never see one here?
Unbelief.
Well, unbelief. Hey, that's exactly right. We are completely overfull to running over with unbelief of the promises of God. We have been taught in the church today, I was, that these promises don't work. In fact, I was one of the last sessions I had at the Baptist church over here. a couple of pastors, two or three, four pastors back. I don't remember how many. But I was in the service one day, and he was talking about something, and he said, and you know, here, I think he was talking about when Peter raised, suffocated. One of the times when Jesus raised some children, some kid from the dead or something. I don't remember what it was. And he said, by the way, after all, how many of us have ever seen anybody raised from the dead? And I had just prayed over a man 6 months before, the only one I've ever seen that come back from the dead, and it was Bo Jackson. And he's still alive today. He lives in Denton. I saw him in the tax office the other day. I happened to run into him. He worked for me for 20 years. I know the man really well. And that night when Bo died, his son-in-law, which was a paramedic, called me at 1 o'clock in the morning and said, Thurman, I thought we'd let you know that we lost Bo with a massive heart attack 20 minutes ago. We have not had a heartbeat or a pulse. He's gone. I said, let's pray. Now, Bo's the Church of Christ. His son-in-law's Church of Christ. They've all been really steeped in unbelief, just like the Baptists, just like Christians. So anyway, it's not any particular denomination. It's all of us. I mean, we don't have any faith hardly at all. Pentecostals don't even have any faith hardly. We're almost faithless. So anyway, I said, well, let's pray. And he said, Thurman, it's too late to pray. He's dead. Is it ever too late to pray?
No.
I mean, how long had those bones been dead when the Lord told Ezekiel to speak to them, huh? Oh, then I mean, so is it ever too late to pray? No, it ain't never too late to pray. With God, what's impossible?
Nothing,
absolutely nothing. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. I said, well, then if you don't want me to pray, I'm going to pray. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke the spirit of death. I command the spirit of death to get his hands off Bo. I said, now, Lord, fill him with your Holy Spirit and raise him from the dead in Jesus' name. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. And his son-in-law said, my God, I got a pulse. He's breathing. I said, what are you going to do with him? He said, we're going to take him to Irving to the hospital. I said, okay. So I live way off, and I said, I'll be there as quick as I can get there. So I get up and get dressed, and I drive to Irving, and it's about 5 o'clock in the morning when I get there. And I walk up, and I meet a doctor coming down the hallway. There ain't hardly nobody there at 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, sir, I'm looking for Otho Wayne Jackson. Do you know where he's at? He said, yeah, he's down there in the room on the left, second room on the left. And I said, well, how's he doing? He said, yeah, he'd have been better off if he stayed dead. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, they said he was without a pulse or heartbeat for nearly a half hour. He'll be a vegetable, said he won't know anything. I said, doctor, I said, do you see those two hands? Well, yeah, he says. I said, you know, the word of God says, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll do what?
Recover.
I said, he didn't say they'd be a vegetable. And of course, this is what the doctor did to me. I mean, you can understand coming from a doctor, right? I mean, he might even be a Christian doctor, but do Christian doctors believe the word? No, they're too busy studying the doctor book to learn how to medicate somebody instead of really learning how to fix somebody. If they'd read this book more, they might learn how to get people healed, right? And so I just walked down to the room where he was, and I walked in there, and there Bo lay, totally asleep. You know, I just walked over, laid my hands on him, and said, it's written in Mark 16:18. Now, maybe we ought to put Mark 16:17-18 up there on the board for you to look at. Maybe I'm not quoting that quite right. Let's put that up there. And these signs shall follow them that believe, not the unbeliever. We got too many unbelieving believers in the church today. You know that? You notice he says these signs only follow those that believe, right? Now, a lot of people think that, well, I'm a believer, so it should follow me. But when I ask you, do you think you could possibly ever raise the dead? They say, what, are you kidding me? Well, it ain't going to work for you, right? Okay, now, so then I said, well, that's a pretty big one, raise the dead, so let's go on. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, the name of Jesus, they shall cast out devils. I said, well, do you think you can cast out devils? Thurman, good grief, no. Who do you think you are? That's what most of the church tells me. Is that right, Roy? Yeah, they don't believe they can cast out a devil, do they? No. And so if you don't believe you can, guess what? You can't. It won't work. You got to believe this stuff. You got to make this your life. You can't make the world your life and then read a little Bible once in a while and never see any miracles from God. You got to make the Word of God your life. You got to spend time with the King. But because he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I mean, my Baptist church, they told me that if I spoke with tongues, there was something wrong with me. And that's impossible. That's from the devil. Well, when I led Kathy to Jesus, when I met my little daughter, Kathy, my little sweetheart, she had her little daughter, Caitlin, and she was living in a car by herself with a baby. Her mom and dad had actually thrown her away because she got pregnant out of wedlock. Now, that's sad, folks. But her dad and mom didn't know Jesus. So I led Kathy to Jesus, got her saved, got her a job, everything, and then got her to go into the Baptist church. She come to my Sunday school class. One day I was introducing her to some of the ladies, older ladies that were up there. And as I was introducing her to them, Kathy's saying, "Yes, thank you, ma'am. How are you doing?" And then she'd break into tongues, and she didn't even know it. She's just talking. And in a minute she'd, you understand what I'm saying? And the woman says, "Kathy, my dear, just be patient. In time, it'll all pass away." I told Kathy when that woman walked off, I said, "Don't you ever give up your gift that God has given you." I said, "You hang on to that gift of tongues." I said, "That's in the Word of God. It means what it says." And I said, "He's given you that gift." Well, of course, you know, I just stand in awe of what God has done with Kathy and her little daughter, Caitlin. You know, she's 15 years old, too. And isn't Caitlin 15, honey, now? Yeah, she just had a birthday. So that Caitlin is 15 years old, and she goes to a Christian school, and that girl has learned well over 1,000 verses to memory in God's Word. 15 years old. Now, I tell you what, all of us, if we had had an education in a school with mother or dad teaching us and somebody teaching us the Word of God, but you know, even though she's got a lot of the Word of God hidden in her heart, the power of the Word has really not fully manifested itself in her yet. You know, God's just building her where He wants her. One of these days, when He's ready, He will reveal the power of what she's got in her, and there's no telling what God's going to use that girl for. You know that? He's awesome. But he said, "You shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." When people say they shall take up serpents, did you know one time I watched a story on television, on Christian television, where there was a place up in Arkansas, they believe they're supposed to handle rattlesnakes. Yeah, you've heard about that too. Well, I thought, if they're right, then nobody ever gets bit. So I called that operation and I asked him, I said, "Has anybody ever got bitten and died from a snake bite?" And they said, "Well, yeah, we've lost 3 or 4. I said, "Y'all ever stop to think that maybe you're not doing it God's way?" I said, "Did you ever stop to think that maybe these are talking about spiritual beings instead of snakes?" Now then, it could be both. So I believe with all my heart, since He's put right behind it, "No deadly poison shall hurt me." If I happen to get bit by a snake, I believe with all my heart it ain't going to hurt me. I can stand on God's promises, and the snake bite is not going to bite me, not going to hurt me. But I ain't going to go out and reach down and grab one by the tail.
They were tempting the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm not going to test Him at all. I will say one thing. I have grabbed a few snakes by the tail in my life. Never a rattlesnake. You know, but I have, you know, I'm not afraid of them at all, but I have chicken snakes and things like that. You know, if they're trying to get away from me, I'll reach down and grab them by the tail. When I do, of course, they immediately try to get back to you. Well, you can just bring them back like this and pop them. And when you do, you pop their head like that. And then after you break their neck, then you just give them a big throw and they go out there and they die. You know, but I could do that to a rattlesnake too, I guess. I went and watched some guys with rattlesnakes one time, but I wouldn't get in the pen with them. These guys in Brownwood, Texas, I went there one year to the roundup. They had a glass cage probably 10 by 10, and there was probably 500 rattlesnakes in that cage. I mean, they were up against all glass. I mean, you could see them. You know, they were up against the edges, and they had a contest, two guys, one with a sack and one without a sack, and they would get over in there, and the guy would reach down, and them snakes would see him, and they'd start coming back like this. And the guy's over here doing this to get the snake to pay attention here. And then he'd reach around behind him, grab him right behind the neck. And then he'd throw him in that sack. And this guy's holding the sack as they grab the snakes. And whoever could sack 10 snakes the quickest won the contest. And did you realize people are that stupid? Do you know there's some stupid people in the world? But that story, I'm telling you, I stood there and watched that in Brownwood, Texas at this rattlesnake roundup. How many of you ever heard about the rattlesnake roundup in West Texas? You know, they have one all the time, right? Yeah, but has anybody else in here ever seen them do this? Okay, some of you have. Okay, so you know what I'm telling you is the truth. They get in there with them rattlesnakes, but he says here, we shall take up serpents. Now, that could be a snake, you know, it could be a real snake, or it could be a spirit being. They shall take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Now then, if you get stung by a wasp, you can claim that promise. Can you not?
Yes.
Have you done that before, Kim?
Oh,
you did that?
No, I prayed over our son.
Oh, okay. I mean, but it's any kind of poison, right? Ants, I mean, if somebody were to give you something and you had a reaction to it or something like that, could you stand on this promise?
Yes.
Sure, you could, you know, but here's not the way to stand on it. You're sick or you got a wasp bite or a snake bite or whatever, and then they pray and you say, okay, now then quick, get me to the doctor, just quick as you get me to the doctor.
No.
It won't work. It will not work. You got to believe it with no doubt in your heart. And so that's where we have the problem. But it says there, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So now then, you see, when I walked into Bo's room, and he was asleep, and I reached over and just laid my hands on him and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Now, what else do I have to do? That's my part. That's all I had to do. Now then, did I have to do that in faith?
Yes.
Yes. I had to believe it was going to work with no doubt in my heart. Well, the man is still alive and well today. That's been at least 15 years ago. Now, I hate to tell this on myself, but it's true. So I'll tell you that probably a year later, a good friend of mine from Comanche, Texas, his wife called me and said, Thurman, Jack, his name was Jack, said, Thurman, Jack got the feeling rotten, and today, and it was Friday, and he went into the doctor and they done some tests, and he has a very rapid growing cancer. He only has probably 3 months left to live. I said, no problem. We will be down there Monday morning. I will take the day off from work. I said, I have learned a lot about healing. I will be there. And so Monday morning, my wife and I got up. We drove down there to our friend's house. We pulled up to the front, and there was all kinds of cars out in front of the house. I thought, well, what's going on? I went in. I said, Carmelita, I said, what happened? She said, Thurman Jack died about an hour ago. I said, what? She said, yes. I said, where is he? She said, he's still laying in there in the bed. So I went in there, and there he lay. I touched him. Man, cold, hard. Rigor mortis has already set in. I said, Lord, I need the faith to do this again. I'm sure God's sitting there saying, that's why I killed him. I wanted to train you. All you need to do is speak it in faith, and I'll raise him from the dead. Is it written in his word?
Yes.
I sat there, and that undertaker sitting over looking at me thinking, what are you going to do? And I couldn't even talk to him. I sat there for an hour and looked at that guy, and I finally got up and walked out of the room. I said, Lord, forgive me for having no faith. But I just can't do it. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? That I had this whole book, and I've already seen one man raised from the dead. But of course, that was out of a dead sleep. I was awake, and God didn't have no problem when he woke me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, just taking control of my tongue because I'm really not awake yet. And I spoke those words, and he raised that man from the dead. But here I got another test, and I fail it. And so guess what? Every time somebody calls me and said, we want you to come to the hospital or we want you to fly somewhere and pray for somebody to be raised from the dead, guess what I tell them? No, I ain't got the faith. If I know I don't have the faith, why should I waste my time going and praying for somebody if I know I ain't got that kind of faith? I need God to give me some more faith.
Amen.
How am I going to get that faith? By spending more and more and more hours with him in the Word. And then one day, when I spend enough time with him, he's going to tap me on the head and say, son, you're there. Now then, I'm going to let you, there's a man going to die. and I'm going to send you there to raise him from the dead. And when he says that, when somebody calls, I'm going to be waiting on the phone. When they call and say, Thurman, we got a man that just died. I said, I'll be right there. Because I've already heard from God. I know what he said, and I know he's going to give me that power to do that. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to glorify the king by going and doing what he says. Now, Matthew 10, 1, I think. Matthew 10, 1. Let's look at that. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. What does verse 2 say? No, that's not what I thought it said. Okay. Let's go down to verse 7 and 8. Let's go down to 7 and 8, Matthew 10. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. I have seen the Holy Spirit work through me through all of those, every one of those, at least once. But most of them, many times. But the rising from the dead, I've only seen one. Only one. I would like to see more. But now somebody would, at first when I first learned this, somebody told me, but you know, this was just for the apostles. And I said, okay, and I believed that. You know, I believed it. Until one day I was over in Matthew 28, 18. And let's see what Matthew 28, 18 says. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. How much power? So how much does the devil have then? None. Jesus is in control of everything. He's the boss. Verse 19 and 20. Go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them, the new converts, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So he just told you and me right there that everything he told the apostles to do, what are we supposed to do?
Same thing.
Are we supposed to go and raise the dead?
Yes.
Are we supposed to cast out devils? Are we supposed to heal the sick? Yeah. But there's one secret we have to always remember. Before it'll work, you got to get to a point where you can believe. You got to believe. And before you can get to the point where you can walk in that kind of faith, you got to develop your love walk. And if you develop your love walk, I mean your love walk, when you get to that point where you can really walk in a God kind of love, then you can pray for your husband and he gets healed. Isn't that right, Mike? And is that awesome? How awesome has it been not to have a backache now in all these years or whatever? Last couple, right? Fantastic. How many of y'all like pain? If you want to know if Cheryl likes pain, ask her. She don't like it either. I've always said there's one thing. There's only one thing I hate worse than pain. More pain. Oh, Lord, I don't like pain. But just think. Are these some awesome promises that God gave us?
Yes.
And how many times are they supposed to be yes?
Always.
All the time. If you're sons and daughters of God, your love walk is supposed to be equal to His. You know, you're supposed to love everybody regardless of what they do, what they say. You know, you're to never receive an offense from nobody. And boy, you know how hard that is? You know, when somebody walks up to you and grabs hold of your shirt and slaps you on the cheek and says, I don't like you. You know, okay, I'm sorry, I love you. You know how hard that is? In fact, I had a man tell me one time when I was out there as an engineer, I was sitting there at my desk and a guy came in and said, Thurman, I believe with all my heart that if some guy walked in here and just reached over and grabbed you and picked you up and punched you in the nose and knocked you out, you would be laying back there maybe in your own blood saying, hey, brother, let's get right with each other. I love you. He said, I couldn't do that. He said, I'd be back up fighting like a tiger. But he said, I don't believe you would do that. Well, if you want to walk in the God kind of love and get your prayers answered, that's the way you got to walk. In a love walk. You got to love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. You got to love your neighbor. And you got to love yourself. And if that love walk is there and you're walking in the God kind of love. And some people don't understand love. You know, there's a tough love, you know, that people don't understand. Some people think when you tell them something about God's Word, you're condemning them, you're judging them. But the reason you told them that was because you loved them. You know, in other words, like I said, if I knew that three steps out there was a cliff there that was 500 foot straight down and there was a burning fire down below it, and you were walking toward it, and you couldn't see over the edge, and I didn't try my best to stop you, would I love you? No. But if I did everything in my power to scream at you, to do whatever, you know, I remember I always tried to when my children were growing up, every time they asked me something, I always tried to say yes. I'd listen to what they wanted to do, and I'd analyze it, and then I would always try to say yes to everything my children wanted to do. So that if it ever come the time when I says, no, Dad, you always say yes. I said, but not this time. You know, that's just like one time, I never screamed at them either. One time, Tim was fixing to do something. I think he was driving a mower or something. And he was doing something, and he was fixing to really get in trouble. And I screamed at him, son, stop! That's the first time Tim ever heard me scream at him in his life. And boy, you talk about responding. I mean, he was dead on it. He stopped dead. He said, Dad, what happened? I said, well, I thought you were fixing to get hurt there. He said, I knew something bad was wrong because you ain't never screamed at me like that, never. Well, I don't think you should get into a habit of screaming at your children. But some people do that all the time. You know, some people scream at their children all the time, so their children, they don't know how to act if they're not being screamed at. Y'all seen these kind of people, right? Yeah, that's right. Now, absolutely, you're right. You know, they do. So we need to learn to walk in love. Is it going to be easy? No, it's easy to love people that love you. But people that are always bugging you or saying the wrong things to you, it's hard to love them. It's hard to love. I mean, you know, you can probably ask my own wife, am I easy to love? I'll answer her question before you. You know what she'll probably tell you? No, he's not easy to love because I'm a man. Do you all understand that? I am a man. Is that right, honey? Yes or no? Yeah, see, she even agreed with me. But I knew she would. You know, most of you women, if I were to ask you and you were truthful with me, most of you that are married would say, my husband is not the easiest guy in the world to get along with. You know, he's got things that he does that I don't like. And if that ain't true, then he ain't a man. You know, that's just the way men are made. Is that true? Then you're going to walk in that love walk, and every time you ask God for something, guess what he's going to do, A.A.? He's going to answer your prayer. That's the way it is. Isn't that wonderful? Now then, there's a lot of promises in this book, isn't there, Rosemary? And how many times are they yes, Gracie? Wow. Isn't that awesome? That's wonderful, isn't it, Michael? Absolutely wonderful. Now then, the problem is, in this little church, we're trying to learn them. I'm trying my best to teach you these principles, and I love it when little ladies like this one over here told me the testimonies. Because obviously she's walking in a love walk, and you're using the Word of God, and it's working. Isn't it amazing that the promises of God work? Do they not, young lady? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been trained to listen to the world. We have not been trained to listen to these promises we've been going through today, have we not? Now that if we believed all these promises, we would be doing things different. Is that true? We would be quoting the Word of God. Yesterday, Jimmy sat right here on the second or third row, and he told us about his dad. And of course, I know his dad. The first time I met his dad, he was 88. Now then, he's 95. And Jimmy was telling me his daddy just went to a trip to Colorado from Lubbock in his own car and back, and he's 95 years old. And I'm telling you, the man, he would pass for 60. But here's what he talks about. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Glory to God. I'm a son of God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that you bore my sickness and removed my disease. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. How about you, son? How are you? Oh, I'm good. Praise God. Do you know my Jesus? Let me tell you about my Jesus. That's what he talks like all the time. Now, if he talks like that all the time, what do you think? Why do you think he's 95 and looks like he's 60? Because he's quoting and standing on the promises of God, right? But that guy has constantly got the Word of God coming out of him. Thank you, Lord. You promised me a long life. If I would believe you and walk holy in your presence, Lord, you said you would satisfy me with long life. Well, Lord, I'm 95 years old, and I ain't even close to being through living now. Lord, so I thank you for my long life. That's the way the man talks. Amen. Some people said, gee, that sounds like that's going a little overboard. Well, it all depends on what you want. Eldon, it really pays good dividends, doesn't it? But you know, we have been trained to go by what a doctor says. All right, first of all, if we were trained, like A said over there a while ago, if we were trained from the day we were little bitty, like Sarah, 3 years old, already knows how to pray for the sick and get them healed. If we were trained to walk like that, then we would do those kind of things and we would walk holy before Him and we would have how much sickness? None. There would be no sickness. And so anytime the enemy would try to come by and give us a test, here's what happens. The enemy comes by and he puts a little thing on your thumb there. Oh, a little pain. And then this little thought comes to your head. Oh, you're over 60, you're having an arthritis attack. And you know what we do? We buy it. Maybe I am having arthritis. I had to have a sharp thumb in my pain, the pain in my thumb. So a few days later, you know, it comes back again. You better go to the doctor and have that checked out. You're having arthritis. So you go into the doctor and say, Doc, would you check me? I think I've got arthritis. He checks it. Yeah, that's exactly what's wrong with you. You got arthritis. But see, when it first happened, if you'd have said, no, by His stripes I am healed. I have authority over that devil. In the name of Jesus, I command you to take that. I'm submitted to God. I am resisting you because it's written in James 4:7. In the name of Jesus, I command you to get your filthy hands off me. I do not have pain. And the devil said, you're lying, you have pain. I said, oh yeah, it may be there. You're putting it on me, but it's not my pain. It's you're doing it, not me. So in the name of Jesus, I command you to get your filthy hands off of me and leave me alone in Jesus' name. And the pain goes away.
Is it not true, though, that arthritis also is a symptom?
Oh, sure, yeah. That's one of the things that opens the door. Yeah, if you get into bitterness with somebody, every time you see somebody, I don't care who it is, maybe it's your own spouse or somebody else, you're having trouble getting along with them and you're hard to get along with, you're bitter at things, I guarantee that'll open the door to that arthritis demon and he will come in and he will mess your hands up, mess your body up, and he'll just mess you up. You cannot have bitterness and rejection and walk without arthritis. It's going to come. How many of you want arthritis?
No.
Nobody. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a sister here.
Yeah. Lord, give my sister knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding. And then when you pray that prayer, then He'll send the Holy Spirit to begin to do that for her.
Yeah.
And then one day when you're talking to her, she'll say, you ain't going to believe. I was reading the Bible last week, and I found out that Matthew 18:19 really works. You might have told her that 1,000 times, see? But she got the revelation because you asked the Lord to give her the revelation and wisdom. If you don't do that, it won't ever come. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't hear.
Yeah.
All that information is on that CD back there, How to Get a Lost Person Saved.
Yeah.
You know, that CD will teach you everything you need to know about how to get a lost person saved. That message I spoke at the Bill Gothard Conference come directly from God. He woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, son, this is what I want you to teach at the Bill Gothard Conference today. And he just, in one heartbeat, he unfolded that entire thing with all them scriptures. And I remembered every one of them. When I walked up there a few hours later at 9 o'clock in the morning, I spoke that from memory, from heart, that he had laid it out and told me that's what I was to teach on that day at the Bill Gothard Conference. Isn't God awesome? He's awesome. Yes, David?
But now for you to have the amount of faith that you have, you've had to read the Word out loud to yourself for many years.
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, I hate to say this, I don't want to bust anybody's bubble, but I was raised a Baptist, and when I started reading God's Word, trying to believe everything that was in it, I read it and confessed it for 5 to 15 hours a week for 10 years. That's how long it took me. 10 years. 5 to 15. I never studied less than 5 hours. And probably never more than 15 hours in 1 week. Now, that doesn't count time I'm going to church and Sunday school classes and sitting and listening to a pastor preach. This is my own study time, 5 to 15 hours a week for 10 years. And then the Lord spoke to me audibly the first time. He's not easy to get. He's really not easy. But I tell you what, I wouldn't take nothing for all those years.
Amen.
It's the best thing I ever done. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I mean, the people that I prayed for, that God has healed. The miracles I've seen Him do, and many of you in here are recipients of those healings and miracles, and you know that you are your children, and y'all are grateful and thankful that God showed me this so I could teach it to you so you can do it yourself.
Amen.
I will have to say there was times when I was traveling, you know, going from place to place on an airplane. You know, sometimes I either read it kind of silently or I wouldn't read it real loud. But I tried to read it out loud as much as possible. You know, and so I know, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come by reading the Word of God. It comes by hearing. I'll tell you what somebody told me the other day about one of my teachings. And I went and picked it up, and they told me something I said, and I said, you know, it's so strange, I don't remember that. So I went and got the teaching and listened to it, put it in my CD player, and started listening to it. I listened to the whole thing, and I said, wow, that guy's good. I need to listen to him. I kind of forgot it was me. Wow, he's good. So that goes to show you that even though I've taught it myself, it was the Holy Spirit, not me. And so when I went back and listened to it over again, it's just like I'm getting it fresh for the first time, my own teaching. Because I remember when I listened to it, I said, wow, that guy is good. I really need to listen to him more. Isn't that something? But, you know, when the Holy Ghost is doing it, you never get it. You know, I mean, even like today, there's probably things I said today that if you ask me tonight or tomorrow about a certain thing, I might say, I don't remember saying that. But if I go back and listen to it, I might say, wow, there it is. I really did say that. And every once in a while, somebody will call me and say, you know, I heard you say this on a tape. And sometimes I remember it quite clearly, and sometimes I don't. And so I say, well, I'll listen. And of course, when I go back and listen to what God is doing, I think, wow, you know, that is such good stuff. God is so, listen, see, the promises of God, they're good for me too, right, Eldon?
Amen.
It don't matter who's teaching them. If I'm listening to them, I'm getting something from God's Word. So, but you know, when you pray like this, Lord, use me for your glory today. You know, you speak out of my mouth. You bring the people here today that you want to be here. And then you speak out of my mouth. You touch people's hearts. Lord, open everybody's heart and mind so they'll be able to hear and see the Word of God, so they can walk in this power that you provided for us in the kingdom. When you pray like that, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to do exactly what you asked for. See, he's a faith God. That's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, which comes out of our mouth. So this week, I want you to promise God that you will meditate on his Word. You know, that you will stand on his Word. That the promises will become real to you. Because every promise I quoted today, where did I get it, A.A.?
Right straight out of God's Word.
Right. So I can't be wrong, can I? Cannot be wrong. If somebody says these promises doesn't mean, in fact, I feel sorry for that PhD one time that tackled me. And he said, Thurman, I've heard you talk about Matthew 18:19 so many times, and said, you totally misinterpret Matthew 18:19. I don't know how you misinterpret Matthew 18:19. You know, I've used it so many times, you know, that, hey, it works for me. It worked for you, didn't it, Gracie? Michael, are you glad Matthew 18:19 works?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this week, meditate on the Word. Learn these promises. You know, listen to them over and over. Next week when you come, get a copy of these last two teachings we've done on these promises of God. And, you know, learn these things. Get them in your heart. Remembering, it took me 10 years, but it was worth it. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it. Wouldn't you? Wow. Father, I praise you and thank you for this blessed day. I thank you for your Word. I thank you that we have the privilege to have your Word, to read it, to study it, to work with it, and to meditate on it and to speak it. And Lord, I thank you that you watch over your Word and you're ready to perform your Word. So that's why we can stand on your Word. And we can see you answer our prayer and do such great and mighty things for us and our children. Lord, I give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving for being the mighty God that you are. And we just love you, Lord, and praise you. And Lord, work on our hearts that we will walk closer in that love walk. We want to walk in that love walk, Lord. We want more power to come through us. And so to do that, we've got to walk in love. Because you said in Ephesians, that faith worketh by love. So if we don't have love, we don't have no faith. So Lord, we want faith, so we need love. So thank you for showing us how to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.